new Mac Pro desktop computer from Apple is coming out in December. What's your opinion about it?
It's round and black. It looks like Star Wars on the inside and Vader on the outside.
And how does it stack up by the standards of Apple's previous designs?
I think it's interesting that they made it circular, especially because it looks like they're going to, you know, incorporate some cooling flows in there, and I think the circular design will help with that so things won't get as hot, because ours gets pretty hot. You could burn yourself.
Right. We have an iMac, but yeah, the iMac we have is from the Nehalem era of processors, and they were a lot hotter than the ones that they're making now.
Yeah, it's a pretty beast of a machine.
Yeah, it's a great computer. I've been very satisfied with this computer. You know, it's like, it's a real solid performer. But right now I'm recording on the MacBook Pro because I'm still adjusting to GarageBand. You know, I talked in the last podcast about the new GarageBand, but, you know, I'm still learning things about it, and, you know, I'm not moving right over. I'm gonna, because, like, we were just looking at a song that we're working on. Should we play a preview of that song, Jessica?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna load it up. So Jessica worked on this song on her iPad, and would you say it's like a yoga type song?
Yeah, it was started in LA. And maybe it was finished here. I know for sure all the producing and mixing was done by my lovely husband. And he added some cool stuff to it and probably fixed the face lighting on the rest of the people.
Like there's a lot of great loops in this. It's just it has a good rhythm. And then your vocals are the best part. So, yeah, check it out. Listening to the Pacific Pelican .us /64 podcast with me, Dan McKeown, and with Jessica. And you can find more information at the website, PacificPelican.us/64. And today we're recording on November 1st, 2013. One of the changes in OS X Mavericks, along with there being a new version of GarageBand available, is that there's a desktop version of iBooks. So now you can look at iBooks on the desktop. And I want to know, Jessica, what do you think of that, the implementation of it?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, especially since you open up a Mac and it started automatically.
Yeah, it's nice that now your books will sync between your iOS devices and your Mac. And, you can see the, you know, the books in multiple windows. You can have different books open, and if you send an EPUB to iTunes, if you sync an EPUB to your iBooks, you can view it right, you know, in here. So iBooks is actually a pretty good EPUB reader now. Now, in terms of PDFs, you can do the same thing with PDFs. It'll have the PDFs on the desktop, which is a step further than Kindle. Kindle just assumes that you'll have the PDFs available somewhere else, I guess, because when you can read PDFs on the mobile apps, you know, that are sent to your account, you know, there's a feature in Amazon Kindle that you can do that. You can email stuff to yourself, you know, to your own account. And when you do that, you don't get to see the PDFs on your desktop Kindle app. Now, Apple goes a little bit further. They do one better in the sense that what they'll do is they allow you to see your PDF, but then you double-click on it and it opens in preview. So the same default behavior as, you know, when you click a PDF on the desktop in Mac OS X. But at least you get access to those PDFs that you're syncing with your account. But really, it's really like the EPUB is the thing that works better. But so if you get an indie EPUB, if you get an EPUB that's like a private, you know, EPUB, maybe it's a galley of something that someone's working on, or maybe it's a you know, private document that's being shared in that format, you know, you can read through it in your iBooks account. So that's pretty cool. That's a little clip of a song from Kid Ink, and now we're hearing the clock sound, one of the clock sounds in the new Apple Loops with GarageBand 10, and that means it's now November 2nd, 2013. Thanks for coming back to the recording session, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
So I don't know if it's even worth bringing up, but there's a YouTube Music Awards. I heard you saying something about it. That was a good point earlier, before we were recording this.
Well, I mean, it's just a big sponsorship opportunity for Kia. It looks like is the lead sponsor, and it's just a bunch of you know, Justin Bieber's and Rihanna's and, you know, people that are already famous and already get a bunch of awards, and YouTube has the opportunity to highlight some of its up and comers, some of the next superstar, so to speak, and instead they do their music award just like MTV or the Grammys.
So it's like a wannabe type proposition, the Me Too type thing.
Yeah.
This is their like video game.
So yeah, YouTube voters are voting.
It's on the YouTube Spotlight channel.
But it's just a popularity contest. I mean, it's not anything. It's like, oh, I like Justin Bieber more. Oh, I like Taylor Swift more. And they're going to get all their little fans to vote.
Yeah, right. All their internet followers.
These are the most loved, watched, and shared music videos on YouTube over the last 12 months. Now you decide who wins Video of the Year. Vote by sharing your favorite nominee video from the official Video of the Year playlist.
We're not going to vote by the voting device that's pretty obvious on YouTube, which is, I don't know, view counts or likes. We're going to have you share it because it's sponsored by Kia, people who make the ugliest cars in the world. So obviously, every time you share it, you're basically shilling for Kia. So don't participate.
But yeah, and it's like you were saying. I mean, they put it out there directly. It's just about a raw number of views. It's not about artistic merit or, you know, like even like a lot of award shows claim to be, you know, they don't claim to just like look at the numbers. Like, doesn't Billboard look at the numbers and just say here's the winner based on numbers? But the other award shows, even though stuff like Grammys and American Music Awards or whatever, that stuff is very commercial. But Yeah, this is like literally, this is how many people shared it on YouTube. That's what matters.
Well, yeah, and Instagram just
started. It puts themselves at the center of the conversation and it makes a popularity contest. Instagram just started doing what?
Advertising.
Oh, is it in the in-app advertising? Yeah. Like when you look at your stream or something?
Yeah.
What is it like? Because you know I haven't used Instagram in like, about a year or so now.
It's a photo and it's got some little icon on it. I can't remember what it is. I don't know, but it's like, it indicates that it's sponsored. And the first one that they did was an Instagram one. From, you know, hey, here's what it would look like. And people were like, no, stop, don't do it, I hate it, dislike, boo. There's, like, thousands of comments. But, I mean, I don't know. Welcome to the internet, people. Like, how do you think it gets funded? By you not paying and using the service? Do you know how much bandwidth costs? So, you have to be smart about it.
Go!
You know. You have to figure out creative ways. And, I mean, I'm sure the people at YouTube are going, shit, how can we pay for all these millions and millions of videos? Let's get Kia, who makes ugly cars. We'll give them music awards, and they can share stuff. And I mean, I used to help the advertisers come up with these kind of integrated, you know, content offerings. So I get it. The key is that it doesn't feel like an ad. And what does Kia and YouTube have to do with, and music awards have to do with anything? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I get it. Kia's like, whoa, we're hip and we're cool. It's like, no, you sell cars.
Nothing.
You have nothing to do with YouTube or music awards. It's just your demographic. So that's why you're sponsoring it. So it's an ad. So it's obvious. So it's not really that integrated.
Okay. So
unless you can
clumsy
like play YouTube in your Kia cars or something.
Well.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you gotta be careful about those kinds of integrations. That does sound kind of cool.
But yeah, advertising on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I mean, I almost can't stand YouTube anymore because of the pre-rolls and the pop-ups. Ugh.
Well, the front page recommends what you watched. It's like their own algorithm, right? You have to hit another button to go to a line of like subscriptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like you're subscribed to some Michigan State stuff.
Yeah, Michigan State beat Michigan today. That was that was definitely a very good game. They beat them solidly.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the touchdown at the end, that was kind of like an in-your-face seal the deal. The three sacks in a row that I saw of Gardner was just awesome. I mean, I think he was out, too, after that last round.
Oh, yeah, Devin Gardner was getting tackled really hard. So, they pulled him from the game at the end. Yeah, there was a really good game by, Max Bolo was good on defense, but, it was a really good team effort. And, yeah, who's that guy who was,
Fowler?
Oh, Fowler made some good catches, definitely.
Yeah.
Benny Fowler, definitely. On defense, there's another guy that, made some really key plays, today. I mean, actually, a number of guys did, but, there were how many sacks on Devin Gardner? Like, three in a row at one point.
Seven at one point, I saw, when they were doing the stats.
Negative yardage for their tackles.
And I think that the fact that they did not get a touchdown, if I'm correct, I think they just got two field
goals.
No,
they just got two field. Michigan just got two field
so
goals.
So that's
yeah.
just, that's kudos to the defense. And I wear my Michigan State gear all day today. And
yeah.
I think it's now kind of like a, one of those things called like a superstition, I guess. Like I feel like I have to wear this shirt, and if I wear this shirt, then they win. And the more green I can put on, the better, you know, so. I really tried to sport the colors today.
Yeah, that was awesome. And
I didn't even go there.
you're a really cool fan, you know, and you're a supporter. That's great that you are. I was trying to think of Danikos Allen. He had another linebacker. He had a great game. But I mean, a lot of the players for State had great games. And final score was around like 29-6, I think. Yeah, that was cool. And then You know, in other Big Ten stuff, Northwestern dropped another game at the end.
Oh.
I mean, okay, so guess how it ended.
How?
Like it was a throw to the end zone on the last play.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if maybe under
interception run back for a touchdown.
No, it was a Hail Mary play. It was a throw to the end zone, a desperation throw. So yeah, I wonder if they have, like, I was watching the highlight. Was I on ESPN earlier? I think I was. So this was crazy. I mean, of course, what are they gonna do? They're probably gonna try to throw some pre-rolls at us. Everybody does that. A bunch of pre-roll bullshit. There's a game right now between Florida State and University of Miami that's going on.
Fucking Sue in the house. Checking out his alma mater, Nebraska hosts Northwestern. First quarter game tied at 1. Trayvon Green takes the handoff and he's going 39 yards down to the 6-yard line. He later punched it in for the score. Northwestern taking a 14-7 lead. So to the second, Nebraska now down 21-7, mounting a comeback. Freshman QB Tommy Armstrong Jr. to Quincy Anunwa for the score. Nebraska now down a touchdown. So third quarter, same score. Trevor Siemian picked off by Avery Moss. Just like that, we have a tie ball game at 21. So fourth quarter, same score. Armstrong Jr., though, a costly interception right here. Tyler Scott picks his pocket, returns it 29 yards to the 7-yard line. Northwestern, though, would have to settle for a field goal, going up 24-21. So last chance for Nebraska on the ensuing possession. Ron Kellogg, the
check
third,
this up.
Throwing up the Hail Mary to the end zone, and check out Jordan Westerkamp reeling it in for the touchdown as Nebraska wins it.
That is incredible.
27-24.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, Northwestern has had just a series of sometimes close losses in Big Ten competition to the point where they are now 0-5 in the Big Ten.
Wow. I mean, thank God for Northwestern.
They had high expectations going in, though. A lot of people thought that they would be one of the good teams in the Big Ten. And now, you know, Minnesota's having a pretty good year. They edged out Indiana today. Ohio State's obviously doing well. But now Michigan State is pulled, you know, well ahead of Michigan in the standings. You know, it's so... yeah, I don't know, but I mean, yeah, like Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern, they were talked up so much. There was this like real sense that they were building like a relative powerhouse. You know, like people were comparing it to Stanford. Not that Northwestern is really that much like Stanford, probably, but it's a private school. It's near a city. You know, whatever. So. People were thinking like Stanford's ranked number 5 in the country right now, and they've had some solid years the last handful of years. You know, they've had some pretty good records, and you know, and they're like ranked 7th in a different poll or something. But I don't know, like it's yeah, it's pretty high. So I mean, you know, it's like people were wondering if Northwestern was building a program, you know, that was on that kind of level.
Yeah. I wonder how Northwestern is going to finish out the year. Like, if they're going to just keep losing because they're in such a, you know, bad state or what.
Yeah, I think, like, in a way the dream is over for Pat Fitzgerald. Like, I mean, maybe you can bounce back from this, but this has really put a lot of the air out of, like, their supposed rise. Can they really, you know, come back and have a, you know, big season next year?
I say no.
I agree.
Yes.
There's this article in The Guardian. Fukushima horse breeder braves high radiation levels to care for animals. And it's about this guy who had a horse ranch who was near Fukushima. He's not really supposed to be living there. You're supposed to be able to visit during the day, but not stay there. But he stays there and looks after the horses.
Aww.
It's he's an older guy, and is like, his wife moved away, but it sounds like his daughter is back there. Sometimes it's like, maybe you should give your daughter away, but I don't know. It's a strange story. It's got a lot of weird angles to it. But yeah, there's so much devastation because of that nuclear disaster, there. And, there were like three meltdowns, and the media really covered it up, a lot at the time. So people don't, there is not as much real as, like, people don't realize how bad it was. And then also that there were serious set of issues this year. I mean, it's just been ongoing. March 11th, 2011 was when the tsunami hit, and I mean, the place has been basically in crisis since then. There were like three massive meltdowns of nuclear reactors, and they're dumping water in, and then the water that's contaminated leaks into the ocean. It keeps going on. It's like, I don't know. It's a bunch of bullshit.
I mean, he's a horse breeder, so that's his business. And I mean, where else are you gonna go?
Well, I guess that's his. Well, those are his horses. It's like he can't. Yeah, I mean, if he could go work somewhere else, maybe where there's horses, but those horses aren't allowed to leave. There's like rules about animals that were in the area. Just like there's rules about the way people can move in and out. There's, as you'd imagine, stricter rules about animals. Segment of the Pacific Pelican .us/64 podcast, episode number 113.
Yeah. I was just looking to see if there's anything else going on.
Just cause we say I'm on the
Today's Diwali.
Yeah, that's an Indian festival.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, I don't know too much about it, actually.
Yeah, lights or something? Do they have lights? Even though it's probably not bath salts, but whatever.
Shazam. With that said. Why? Shazam transforms any function into a multi-dimensional experience. Oh, it's the magic that allows every guest to become part of an astonishing fantasy world. Shazam energizes and motivates through the talent, vitality, and versatility of our radiant dancers, minds, actors, and singers. Shazam sets the tone for what promises to be among the most memorable affairs of your guests' lives. Because for one night...
So I would disagree with what you just said.
Tasteful, intriguing. At a recent function, arriving guests were approached by adoring fans. According to them, the devotion normally reserved for film stars, pleading for autographs and snapshots. Festive.
Screw you.
With business conditions competitive as they are, we selected It's a Jungle Out There as the theme. Surrounded with tropical mist, abstract animals, and not so fierce natives, this was a jungle to revel in.
I want mine on my phone.
You are an alcoholic.
Even the occasional guest who doesn't wish to participate will still enjoy the atmosphere. After dinner was served, Shazam presented a sparkling salute to classic Hollywood films and Broadway shows. Shazam's energy permeates the environment, creating an ambiance that guests find irresistible.
Like an animal.
The finale was designed to reinforce the organization's image of moving into the future. Boldly high-tech and uniquely captivating. The room
oh, come on, this is bullshit!
Vividly illuminating both performers.
Alright, so, I mean,
guests.
This kid goes on, but that's pretty amazing. It's like a corporate event.
That's crazy.
You imagine, like, having, like, I guess companies have all sorts of bad events, but that would be a memorable one. Yeah, that's, so, that was on everythingisterrible.com. Nice, there we go.